It is time for Cover Your Assets with Jim Lynch. Jim, of course, is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, sports, and many, many other things. He brings well over 40 years of experience to those subjects and more. Good morning, Jim.
And good morning to you, sir.
Ah, yes.
Well, that was good.
The Kansas City Chiefs are Super Bowl champs.
Amen.
After what a great
50
game.
50 years.
You know, I remember the first Super Bowl. We were in Miami, Florida. I was in an airport. We were in an airport getting ready to fly back to New York. And there was a color TV in the airport that had the first Super Bowl on. And what was funny is they kept switching the channels. And the Super Bowl back then, the first year, was broadcast by all three networks. I don't know if you realize that. CBS, ABC, and NBC all broadcast it at the same time. But anyways, so 50 years. 50 years after they won their first Super Bowl, they get one back. Congratulations to Andy Reid, really.
Yeah, really.
And to Mahomes.
Oh,
he's such a good kid.
And what a nice kid.
Yeah.
My son and I were talking after the
nice
game.
Nice parents, too.
This kid is 24 years old. He is the captain of the ship, but he's got that great youthful look and smile upon his face, which makes it's very enjoyable seeing him play and seeing the chit-chat. For a while there, I was third quarter, I was saying, hey, let's get going, but he got going, and he did very well.
Well,
But he did that in the two different games as well. They're...
Oh, yeah.
They don't stop.
But he started his comeback earlier in those previous games where they were behind by.
Not the last three. They were down by, people forget, they were down by 10 points with 5 minutes and 57 seconds
and
left.
And won by 11.
And one, yeah, so that's just amazing. Well, anyways, congratulations to him. Tom Brady is passing the torch whether he wants to or not.
Yes, the torch has been passed. And we can look forward to some very exciting football.
That kid's he's the real deal.
His father was
baseball player.
This is the thing, Major League, Minnesota Twins, Red Sox, Mets, Rangers, Cubs, and Pirates.
Yeah. The genes.
Yeah. Or hard work.
Hard work. Let's go back to our town hall meetings. Subject, actually, I wanted to chat about in terms of people in light of what's going on, getting more and more together in doing your best individually to solve this divisiveness that we have. That there was a spark, a flame that ignited some of the less and better angels in some of us. And what's happened is a lot of stuff has come up and out that had been basically controlled. That said, with the cat out of the box, so to speak, we've got to go to work to get it back in. And I think attendance at town meetings of any kind, where you have dialogue with fellow citizens, will be extremely important in getting us back to where we want to be, which is a more civilized country where we're not always looking for he or she is wrong and I'm right. It's going to take some work, but it's interesting. I think in the New Yorker, a fellow named Laporte wrote an article about after the First World War, how and the first 1917, Russia broke up, went from monarchy to communism. In the process, a number of nations broke off in that area, in the Soviet area, Yugoslavia and others, and formed their own democracies. And what happened, because they were built on somewhat of a fragile frame, They eventually became dilapidated and failed and were taken over by authoritarian presidents or dictators. The point of the story is, during the time this was evolving, which was the 20s and 30s, the United States was a democracy and remained a democracy, but there was a tremendous amount of consternation after the First World War and the tragedies that it inflicted upon people. And there was a lot of rebellion. Communism began to float into the country. And so there was a great challenge in terms of keeping the democracy together. If you read the article, you'll find that what happened was a number of forums, for free forums, by scientists and very intelligent people were created to give dialogue to the social problems at that time. And groups throughout the country were formed to do the same thing. That apparently, according to this author, helped save our democracy. But the one thing that was very paramount in his talking about these forums was the whole principle was people got together with the simple word, a sentence, agree to disagree. And that, I guess, folks, is where we are now. We've got to come into concert and agree to disagree with our fellow citizens as we go towards the election of 2020 and pay attention to what is important in our lives and important to our country, but give space to those who might have other ideas.
You know, I've got to mention this. Last night, of course, the fiasco, which has happened in Iowa, but Andy Borowitz is very, very funny, and he has he posted. I see two posts that he did last night. One was breaking news: white person wins Iowa caucuses. but his second one came after, of course. They couldn't announce any winners or anything. Andy Borowitz posted the following. What's taking Russia so long to announce the Iowa results? Now, these are funny, but you know what happened last night is just a big disaster for the Democratic Party to have such a foul-up on the first real voting assemblage of people actually voting on the candidates, to have such a horrible thing break down like it did last night, Jim. It's just inexcusable. You just wonder what is wrong with the karma for the Democratic National Committee when they do things like this and it just blows up in their face.
I don't really know. I don't have the answer to that, but there was a prelude to it the previous day. I know you know this. The Des Moines Register, which does this big poll right the eve of the election, they canceled it because there were irregularities in the questions that the people were asking. I don't know what they were. And then further, they normally do on CNN an hour-long assessment of what they found. This, again, is before the election. That was canceled as well. And I would say that that threw a curveball at the caucus. It's not necessarily a reason for it, but it threw a curveball because that poll, the Des Moines Register poll, was always looked at by many people who were undecided. They received guidance from that, they felt. And certainly the television program would enhance that. That was the beginning of it. But let's get back to what you said, Marshall. The Democrats, they are in such disarray. It is, I mean, I think, frankly, this was we should have been forewarned when all of a sudden everybody named Joe or Joanne could go on the stage and be a candidate. I mean, 20 people and only months to campaign and so forth. The conception was absolutely ridiculous. Now, it was done in guilt because the Democratic Party had given the hip to Bernie Sanders over some things during that campaign in 16. But that said, you go to the other side of the moon, and that's why part of the mess is all these conflicting, not so much ideas, but chatter and distraction. I said to my wife before this, all the thing started, before the impeachment, before any of this stuff, I said, I hope the Democrats can win, and not as they've done so many times, just blow it. And we're in it's a process. I don't have an answer to it. I sure hope, as a citizen, they get it together.
Well, you know, I looked at some partial results, and there's good news and bad news. Even though these are only partial results, I mean, most of the polls it looks like were correct, where you have Sanders leading Buttigieg very closely, and then Elizabeth Warren behind that. But the thing that's surprising about the results that the Sanders campaign showed from their 40% canvassing is Joe Biden with only 12%, which is like 1% better than Amy Klobuchar. I mean, I think what the Democrat Party has got to learn is that they just can't keep going back to the well. They've got to try something a little different. And we'll see when they finally get the numbers released, whether it's later today or tomorrow or whenever. But the Democratic Party really has got to think that they can go to their past to bring back people to the tent. They can't. They have to find new ways to get new people under their tent to vote.
Yeah. Well, meanwhile, there are 49 more states, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but still, they still have, this is a pretty good indicator that they've got to do their homework.
Yes, but this is also a pretty good indicator. And the thing about the partial results and the media and the this and the that and social media and the way that the information is disseminated and the internal polling, probably it's going to turn out that the two biggest winners here are Biden, who can't get out of there fast enough, no matter, like, he's gone. That's in his universe, this is tainted onto the next, which is, you know, everyone's entitled to their narrative. Everyone can spin it the way they want. And that's really frustrating because numbers are supposed to be numbers. Numbers don't, they don't.
Well, once we get the numbers, we'll see what spin situation takes place. But this does set the stage for Bloomberg and
election purchase.
His coming in on Super Tuesday and from then on is pretty amazing. So we'll see what happens. But it looks like it's right now the Buttigieg, Bernie Sanders, and Elizabeth Warren show for right now, and then you add in Michael Bloomberg. I mean, it's. It's going to be something to watch, Jim. I don't know whether it's going to be good or bad, but it's going to be something to watch.
Let's get back to what you said, though, which is very key in the disparity between the old party and the new party. I think, unfortunately for Joe Biden, it might be very telling that he polled very low numbers on young people. He's fine, not fine, but he does well with older people. But, you know, the spirit of anything comes from their youth, the energy and the vitality. And if Biden continues to lack in that area, I don't know exactly what it means, but it doesn't address what you mentioned, Marshall, that we have to forget the past and go forward.
You know, it's interesting, Jim, because some of the numbers that did come out that are accurate are who voted. And the amazing thing here is that the youth vote, which is 18 to 35, and then they've got 35 to 49, the most that's ever shown up has been like 16%, 15%, 16%, and that was when Obama won his first primary. Well, last night, the youth percentage of the vote that showed up at the caucuses was 24%.
Right.
The 65-plus went down from 40% to about 19%. And the next level up, 35 to 49, held steady. So what the Democrats have to realize is they've got to bring now these young people that appear that want to participate, they have to bring them into the party, and minorities and young people in big numbers, and then the Democrats have to look to the future. They you can't look behind. What did Satchel Paige said? Never look behind because something might be gaining on you.
You know your baseball.
I mean, so, you know, just keep, look ahead. Look ahead. And we'll see what happens. But it's you know, and now we all thought that, wow, we're going to be relieved. At least we're finally getting to things where people vote. And we just can't get away from this crisis. Everything's a crisis now, Jim. Everything.
I can't add to that.
Nothing is non. Like Jill said, everybody's got a take of what happened. Everybody,
right.
And nothing can be cut and dry and explained away anymore very easily like it used to be. You know, elections used to be held and primaries used to be held, and people would win and people would lose, and they'd move on. And it's not that way nowadays. It's not that
there
way.
There it is. That's the divisiveness. That's the divisiveness. We've got to move on. And if you can't move on, you're really putting a sword into the democracy. Because being together, voting, the person wins, on we go, here's the plan, let's go with it. But what we're doing to ourselves by being so righteous that it's our way or the highway, we're stymieing the government from doing what's best for all of us. Yeah, it was mentioned by Jill, the numbers. The numbers speak. And the point is, in a democracy, and we've lived through times such as the Bush win over Gore, contested, whatever. But basically, we did get up and go forward. Thank God we did, because we needed that energy when 9/11 hit us. We really need to work on these skills of agree to disagree. It will make all of our lives much more compatible with happiness and joy and yeah. So forth.
You know, another thing I want to talk about, Jim, and if this might upset you or not, Rush Limbaugh. I'm a broadcaster, okay, and it's a form of entertainment. But I've been a broadcaster my whole life, right out of high school. Rush Limbaugh is an important person in broadcasting. First of all, he's not a political commentator. He's a political entertainer, whether you like him or not, what he says. The man single-handedly basically kept AM radio alive for the past 15, 20 years. Whether you like what he says or not, how he performs or not, he's basically kept an industry alive, and he's made a lot of money off it. He's been handsomely paid. But when it was released yesterday, he released that he had stage 4 lung cancer. Some of the vitriol that came out on the internet and on social media was unbelievable. It was just unbelievable. The people, and I finally posted, listen, my political opinions don't agree with Rush Limbaugh at all, but even if you hate Rush Limbaugh, you have to hate cancer more, and you have to have compassion in your life, and wish the man the best in an attempt to recovery. This is where social media really falls down, Jim. People just can get on there, and like you said, whether you agree with this guy or not, you just should not say anything bad about a person that just come out and said he's been diagnosed with stage 4. Cancer. You just shouldn't do it. And there's no manners.
I wholeheartedly agree with you.
There's no manners. There are no manners left. Nothing is taboo anymore.
But it's also been encouraged because, you know, and again, I am and have always, what was it? The problem with validating every single person's opinion by saying, hey, we're all equal. Put your opinion up here. You're safe from reprisal. You can say whatever vile thing you want. And then having it taken out of context and spread around. Now for 15 or 20 years has really messed up a bunch of people's sense of what is and is not acceptable. And it's all very lame, I guess. Yeah, it's all very lazy to blame it on one person, although that happens. It's really poor. And I think that in contrast, we've had two things. Look at Mahomes, right? It's like, whatever, he somehow managed to be raised without... we are lauding him because he was raised right and he turned out well. Or look at the tragedy of Kobe. All right, these are actual people who somehow managed to not be pulled into the sewer of it. That's all.
Well, Jim, we've got the State of the Union and the impeachment vote to look forward to for the rest of this week.
Oh boy, a double feature.
No, that's a sequence for you, right?
We'll put thanks, Uncle Mark.
Actually, it's
hippie with everything looking good.
Well, especially coming off the Iowa caucuses, we now go into those other two things. So you know this week is going to be a talking heads week on TV, so just stay home and watch movies.
I called a friend of mine yesterday, or whenever it was, after the game, and I said, thank God, a bit of light with the Super Bowl in terms of everything going on. But I will point out to you, there is plenty of light. Just reach up and around and grab a piece of it. And don't let anybody push you around in terms of who you are or who you stand for. But be in the spirit of a good Democrat, as in democracy, be willing to agree to disagree.
And
on that note,
yep.
I love you all. You have a wonderful week.
All right. Awesome. Take care, Jim. We'll speak to you next week.
Righto. Bye-bye.
Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets this morning here on Robinhood Radio and the Robinhood Radio Network.